This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello, and welcome to David's Book Talk. Today we're going to talk to a New York Times bestselling author, C.J. Box. Yes, his new book, I think it's the 18th in the Joe Pickett series, is called Vicious Circle. Hello.
Hello, how are you? Thank you. It's the 17th, actually.
It is 17? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, one off. I always get one off. I don't know why that is. What? Joe Pickett is such an interesting man. I mean, he's so laid back, and yet he doesn't put up with anything either. So he's kind of like got these mixed emotions.
Right. I think he's very. I hope that he's a very real character, in that he's not the typical protagonist in mystery series, and that he's not a detective. He's not a private investigator. He doesn't have a dark past and a lot of baggage. He's just a state employee, a game warden, who tries to do his job and do the right thing. But by doing that, he gets himself into all sorts of situations.
But it's interesting that he's a hard ass on the job, but at home he's not. He's kind of a softy at home a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of guys are like that.
Except you. I don't think you're like that. But I don't know you. Maybe you are.
My daughters and granddaughter can kind of just twist me around their finger anytime. Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, when it's family, it's hard to say no. How can you say no to your family?
Mm-hmm.
Daddy, can I have a new Porsche today? Yeah, sure, no problem. Yeah. I mean, you know when to say no, when you have to say no. But it's an interesting, and you being a writer, you have become a huge writer. I mean, I remember when Open Season came out, and I loved Open Season. It's one of my favorites of your books, and I thought, you see so many writers coming out, you think, well, what makes a successful writer? Why do some I mean, they're around for years and years, but they don't have the success that you have. You've had a lot of success.
Yeah, I thank you. Each book is outsold over the previous one, and the last one debuted at number one in the New York Times, and I'm very fortunate that the readership just continues to build, and I don't have a strategic plan for it. It's just happened, and I'm grateful.
And it amazes me. You think, well, what makes Girl on the Train so popular? What makes a certain book really stand out with people? And I think it's because your books are just always good. I've never read a bad book by you. Never. And I'm not saying that lightly, because you've had a lot of books. You've had 25 books now?
Well, 22.
Yeah, but enough that I know that you don't write a bad book.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'm a reader too, and there's certain writers that I agree. There's consistency in the quality of them. I mean, I think like Michael Connelly, I think, has never written a bad book. I don't know if you agree with that.
I don't.
I kind of look to him and some others on how do they stay consistent? How do they mix things up? And I try to just do my thing.
Right. There's only one of his books I didn't like, but I didn't think it was an awful book. I just thought it wasn't as good as some of the others. But that's going to happen. You know, as a writer, it's hard. It's hard to keep up that. I mean, you do it well, but
thank you.
But anybody could write a bad book anytime. What if you're having, if you have personal troubles, it could bleed over into your work. You never know. It just,
right, and I know that's happened.
I mean, you wake up and you don't know what's coming today, I mean, you're headed.
I try to alleviate that by I do pretty extensive research and outlines for each book. So even on days where I don't really feel like writing, I know which direction it's supposed to go. So I can lay down some tracks and then come later and backfill it if necessary. So I just try to keep that forward momentum.
There's so many questions I have for you, but Missy is unbelievable. She is just, I mean, you can't help but hate the woman, but at the same time, her heart's, she's trying to do what's right, what she feels is right, but, she's
right, yeah, that's, Joe's mother-in-law has been married 5 times and is kind of his biggest antagonist.
But who do you base her on? I mean, do you have somebody in mind when you... I mean, I can't believe you would, but, I mean, do you just, in your mind, you just settle on how she's going to be, or do you have to base her on somebody?
You know, I didn't base her on any one person in particular. I was just kind of, at the time she was introduced, it was a third book, Winter Kill. And, you know, it's kind of the cruel thing you do as a writer, and that is, how can I make things even worse for the protagonist than they already are? And that's by introducing the mother-in-law from hell. And, but it was so much fun to write that character that she's continued on and pops up in different books and always brings trouble with her along the way. And so no, she's not based on my mother-in-law, I'll tell you that.
But, maybe she should get kidnapped. This should be a whole book where she gets kidnapped. I think that would be...
And the dilemma is if Joe Pickett wants to rescue her or not.
That's right. Is she really worth all that money?
Yeah.
I know, but I think that would be an interesting book, actually, to see how she would react to that. Because her reactions are, you know, when people are like that in real life and they're out for themselves. Or, I mean, I think she really loves her family, but I don't know if she knows how to tell them that. I don't know. Well, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's that she just doesn't want to. She's too self-centered. She only sees herself.
Right. She only loves them on her terms. And wants them to conform to what she wants her family to be.
I mean, I have a friend. We had a little bit of a fight a week or two ago, and I told him, I said, you know, and it was only nothing, but I said to him how much he meant to me. To tell somebody how much you mean to them is just so wonderful. I mean, if you know you've been a jerk, you say, I know I've been a jerk, but you mean a lot to me. I mean, to be able to come out with that honesty is very difficult, even as a, I mean, especially as a man, you know. Women have no trouble with that. But
there are a lot of people go their entire lives and never do that.
Yeah, it's true, and it seems so easy. It's like, well, just say it. Who cares what people think? You know, do you really care what other people think? But you're in how many different countries now? Your books are in...
Not every single book, but overall, there's 27 languages or 29. I can't remember.
And you won awards for Open Season, I remember, and also for...
I did.
Was it Blue Heaven you won an award for too?
I won the Edgar Award for Best Novel for Blue Heaven. Yes.
Right. Now, what's I know Blue Heaven has been up for some kind of it. Is there any progress on anything with Robert Redford or anything?
Right now. Yeah, right now, no. Several of the books have been optioned for movies. The Joe Pickett series was optioned for TV not long ago. But none of the projects have been developed, and the TV one was going in a direction that we didn't like to see it go. They weren't sticking to the source material, and we were able to get out of that before anything hit the screen, and we're happy that happened, actually, because that just would have made me mad and would have made readers mad, and it wouldn't have had much to do with the books.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. If you read the books and you have an idea in your mind of what the characters are supposed to look like and they look nothing like that, it's very disappointing.
Yes, it is.
It's not to say you can't still like the characters and enjoy the show, but there's kind of a letdown there. But you know, but the TV people don't care about that. All they care about is ratings. You know, that's what the bottom line is. Get the rating, get people to watch it, and then nothing else really matters. I don't think they really care about the integrity of the book, do they?
Some don't. Too many don't. And it's always a mystery to me why option a book for a movie or a TV series and then set about changing the entire character and philosophy of what you supposedly you like that led you to do that.
Now,
I never get that.
Yeah. Now, these scenes with Wanda. I'm reading the scenes with Wanda now. She's being stalked by these guys. Do you actually do research and do you actually go through what she's going through to make sure you have it right, or how do you do that, or is it just all in your mind?
In a scene like that, it's more in my mind because I don't know how you'd really do research on that other than
It'd be fun to watch you do it though.
Other things, I do the research on it and try to do many of the things that Joe Pickett gets involved in. The book begins with search for a lost hunter in the mountains in a small plane, and I did that. you know, with the technology that was available that will actually seek out a heat signature in the trees and tell you if somebody's down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very fascinating and worked that into the book.
Well, you get to do a lot of
so
fun things.
I like to do that. I do, yeah.
You just say, well, I'm a famous author. I can do anything I want, you know.
What I do find is that when I'm researching a topic or technology or something, experts in the field tend to be really, really generous with their time with me, and mainly because they want whatever I'm writing about to be portrayed accurately.
Right.
And they love to talk about what they do, because it's so rare that they read something where it's, you know, done well or accurately. And so they give me all sorts of information. I've never had anybody ever turn me down or say I'm not going to talk to you if you're going to write about it or whatever. Usually they add more information than I would ever thought of asking.
It seems to me, I mean, you've got to have fun writing Joe Pickett. I mean, he's an interesting character, and over the course of the 17 books, he's just interesting. There's always something going. Now, have the Cates been in another book? The whole Cates family, were they in another book?
Yes, it was in a book called Endangered, which was 2 books ago, and that book ends with Joe Pickett taking down this small rural crime family, and
Literally.
The mother and youngest son go to prison.
Right.
But the other members of that family are all killed.
Yeah.
So Dallas Cates has a motivation for what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. I figured they must have been in the book. I don't know that I read that one. I'm not sure if I did not. It's hard to remember, you know. There's so many books, but I love the series.
Oh, sure.
I love the series, and you know, it's almost like you need a notebook while you're reading a series, because you forget from one year to the next what has happened before. It's hard to
sure. Yeah, that happened.
You're still too young. You wouldn't know anything about that.
It happens writing them too, though. You know, and, luckily I've got 3 daughters and a wife and an agent who read each one and say, "Oh, geez, you covered that in the last book," or that business was located on Main Street. Now it's on First Street. You need to fix that. There's lots of things I missed that
really?
Luckily they help me.
Ah, I would think you have a whole wall full of all the details. I can picture this wall in your room at home and all these details from every book, you know.
I wish I did.
It's very easy to make a mistake. That's the problem. I remember Dean Koontz saying that he messed up with a gun one time in a book, and he said, "Well, that's it. I'm going to find everything I need to know about guns, and it's not going to happen again." Because everybody was all over him about you made a mistake there. You know, they jump all over you as soon as you make one mistake. It's like, uh oh, you know, the readers know. You can't fool the readers.
And there's a certain percentage, luckily it's small, of readers who I think read books only to find an error so that they can point it out.
Really?
Sometimes like a typo in a book, you know, 12 years ago, and can't wait to, you know, show up at a signing and say, "Boy, you misspelled X."
Do they really do that, though? I wouldn't have the nerve to do
that.
I would do that if
they do it all the time.
Well, the thing is, I guess it's already been caught by somebody anyway. Somebody sees it anyway. With your daughters, I'm sure they see it.
Right.
But it's not, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal with everybody, you know. It's going to happen. I mean, nobody's perfect. If you were the perfect writer, then you'd be selling 5 million copies every time. but you're doing so well, and you write well. I mean, you write a good story. That's what's important. A good story, the good characters. Do you consider, Vicious Circle, would you consider that more of a thriller or a mystery?
You know, I consider it more of a Western, actually, because it's a very kind of classic Western plot, very much, you know, it's kind of similar to, like, the movie High Noon,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the bad guys and gets out of prison, recruits a couple of fellow bad guys, and goes back to the town to wreak revenge on the sheriff. It's kind of like that. I think most of my books are sort of somewhat westerns in different ways, but I think this one is almost full on.
Do all of them have surprises in them?
I think most of them do.
Do you try to do that? I mean, when you write a book, do you try to have it full of surprises? That seems to be the way that writing is going right now. It's like, surprise the reader. Find a way to surprise the reader.
Well, Yes and no. I mean, a lot of times the surprises come as much to me as I think to the reader, as you're just going along a certain story with a plot in mind. And, you wake up one day and go, what if this happened? That's unexpected. But they're not all necessarily planned out in advance.
I love this judge in this book, by the way. Moulton, is that his name? Moulton, isn't that his name?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's even hard for you to remember all the character names, I'm sure.
It is. I had to go back to one of the early books to find that character. I knew he'd been introduced, but it'd been a long time.
Now, you write standalones. You've written 5 standalones, but you also love writing Joe Pickett. But your readers seem to like Joe Pickett. Do they seem to like him more, or do they look forward to the standalones? How do they react to them?
Well, the answer is kind of both. I've met readers who've read only the standalones, and they're kind of intimidated by a series with 17 books in it.
Doesn't that bother you?
There are readers, not really, because at least they're reading the book, reading something.
Wouldn't you like them to read the series too, though?
Of course. And I usually tell them if they like the standalones, they'll like the series. But the standalones allow me to get a little darker and take on some different subject matter than would work well in the Joe Pickett books.
That's certainly true. I'd be tempted to say, do me a favor, just read Open Season. If I were you, that's what
I don't ever insist.
What's that?
I said I don't ever insist.
No, but I would say it nicely. Open Season's such a great book. I mean, if somebody doesn't get hooked with Open Season, they're never going to get hooked, because it's really terrific. I remember my book club, for some reason, there were people in my book club that didn't like it, and I still can't figure out why, because it is a terrific book, and I think, how could somebody not like this book? I mean, what is there about this book they wouldn't like? It's just an interesting book. I mean, I still remember how much I enjoyed it, and I don't even remember... But how did you get published? I mean, how did you get discovered?
Well, it took a long time. I think Open Season had been done 5 years before I actually got it published. I had an agent in New York at the time who just swore up and down that no one was really interested in that book because it was kind of different in the genre. It was outdoorsy, it was kind of environmental, it didn't really fit into a category. And then that agent eventually died, and I didn't even know it. And I was telling that story to another agent who got interested in the manuscript and told an editor, and boom, they a 3-book deal. But it took that long.
Right. Now, have you ever been a game warden? Have you ever done anything?
No.
This is all in your head. I mean, nothing. You have no personal experience with any of this stuff.
Oh no, I have not been a game warden, but I've done a lot of ride-alongs with game wardens and procedural things. And there's a couple of game wardens in particular that I run big sections of each book by to make sure that they're correct procedurally and the regulations are right and bureaucracy is right, that kind of stuff.
I wasn't implying you didn't know what you were doing, but you obviously do. You obviously do know all about it. But it's not. I just was curious whether you had ever gone through any of this. What do you know? What the title of 18 book 18 is going to be for Joe yet?
Yep, it's going to be called The Disappeared.
Ooh.
And in it, Joe Pickett is the new governor. Asked Joe Pickett to investigate the disappearance of a British female tourist who's come to Wyoming to go to a dude ranch. And when she leaves the ranch, she vanishes off the face of the earth.
Too bad it's not Missy.
Yeah, too bad. Yeah.
I would love to see a book like that. You got to consider doing that.
I will consider it.
I mean, I think that would be interesting. You could go into all the Missy backstory, and we could find out, what made her the way she is, and, all that stuff. Although, I guess we've already gone through a little bit of that. I don't know.
A little bit, yeah.
But not fully. You don't have the full Missy story.
No.
She's a fascinating woman. I mean, I laugh when you see people like her. I guess everybody knows somebody similar to her. If not,
I think so. Yeah, it's a type, and I get scared at book signings when I meet a woman who says my favorite character is Missy. I think, ooh, that says more about you than I want to know.
Exactly. Well, we have to let you go, unfortunately, because I enjoy talking to you every time, TJ. It's wonderful. The book, again, is called Vicious Circle. It's out from Putnam, March 21st. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's always fun.
Yeah, always fun. This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll see you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.